Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Welcome back to the Starting Five Podcast on SB Nation, Christy Bear Blues. I am the one P Shark, aka Mr. 500 Shark with the guys.
What's going on? I may be your twin brother, but I'm Mr. They Are Who They Thought Who We Thought They Were. I'm at _Scarlett on Twitter.
What's good, everybody? This is everybody's favorite corner man, the chief of staff of Dylan Brooks Island, if you will. Getting ready to possibly get our new electrical service DB24, looking to replace MLG and W. So this you got, Trail, man. What's good, everybody?
I like that, Trail. That was a good intro. I'm just really basic. It's really shitty. That's all I got.
What's going on, y'all? It's Tev Shakir, man. Salute to all the superstars out here, but major salute to every single of you other guy out there. You got a role to play. You know, you do your thing, you know, in life, at your job, whatever. You play your role and you do it to the best of your ability and you win in life. Shout out to y'all.
And speaking of Mr. Playing your role, I have to issue a public apology to you and go. I was at the game Friday. I did make a statement on the last podcast saying who else they got besides Steph. Now, one of y'all mentioned the two players that did kill the Grizzlies. Now, one of y'all mentioned Andrew Wiggins or Jordan Poole. But
I mean, that's, I did.
You know, you did. You said Kelly Oubre.
Kelly Oubre. AKA Baby KD. In your opinion.
Yeah, I think Trevor said Pacino, though. I said my boy Pacino. He did the same. Pacino Allen did the same.
Yeah, I was at that travesty. But let's start from the beginning of the week with another travesty, which we kind of all predicted. The Suns whooped us 122-99. Then we came back and beat the Miami Heat. They were on the second night back-to-back, so that was an ugly game. Took it all the way back to the early 2000s, the Detroit Pistons, Indiana Pacers scores is what the game actually reminded me of while watching it. Then I was at that game Friday. They did come back and beat the Warriors on Saturday, though, in the close battle. So 2-2 week, as me and Scott have predicted. What are y'all thoughts for the week?
Well, for me, let's not act like the Phoenix game happened. So I'm just going to focus on the rest of the games. I think there was a really good, tough performance by the Memphis Grizzlies against a really good, at that time, Miami Heat team. Jimmy Butler had that team rolling. I think the addition of him, as I think he was out for several games in December, January, but with him being back, they look like a Eastern Conference possible contender, Sharky. I just give you possible because I know how you feel about them. But I think it was a really good win by the Memphis Grizzlies to be able to, one, to battle against the Miami Heat, but then also to kind of close the game out. For me, I think I talked about a couple weeks ago where I felt concerned, or I felt as if the Memphis Grizzlies couldn't close out games where they had leads. They had shown us before that they can get a lead, and then they've shown us in the same game that they can blow the lead. So being able to get that late bucket by John Morant at the end of the game against the Miami Heat, I think was really good. If there's another game that I do not want to act like happened, is that first Golden State Warriors game. I did not watch the game, kind of knowing in the back of my head that they would be able to pull them one out, but not only lose, but lose in the manner that they did. So I'm not going to speak about that game. But again, to be positive, they did kind of close out the game. They did close out the game against Golden State on yesterday. So again, I think overall 2-2. Again, my name is They Are Who We Thought They Were. They went 2-2, as Shark and I suggested that they would. They're playing 500 basketball all season, so I will continue to go with that trend. But I think for all in all, it was good because they had two really tough games that they were able to kind of close out and win. So if I'm going to be positive, then that's my call out for that.
All right, well, I'll just start with the Miami game as well. The Phoenix game, it looked pretty decent in the first half. Looked like the Grizzlies could have potentially come out and possibly stolen that game. But by the time he fell down by 15 in the third, I turned it off because I knew it was smooth sailing for the Suns ahead. The first Miami game, those are one of those scrappy games that you definitely want to look to try and get on your home floor. Did not think Miami was really going to really was going to run away with it because the way Jimmy Butler eventually got it going early in the second half, I was like, oh, here we go. Miami starting to show why they're one of the top teams in the East and why they were in the finals last year. So I'll go as far as say they're definitely back in the Eastern Conference Finals, in my opinion, this season. But what concerned me with that game, because I really thought Memphis was going to blow that game, Memphis hadn't scored, or really didn't score for like the last 6 minutes until Ja's game-winning layup. So to Lito's point about the Grizzlies being unable to close games in the past, that really was a sound concern. So, and then it's just the way in the fashion that it happened. It's just like, okay, why are we struggling to score within these last 6 minutes? Because Miami could have very easily won that game. Like, very easily. The way they was playing, the way everything, they had everything clicking, Miami very easily could have won that game. The guys know I get on, as far as the first Warriors matchup, the guys know I get on Andrew Wiggins a lot when we talk about him on the Let's Be Real podcast. So I issue an apology to Andrew Wiggins. Nights like that happen in the NBA. That's why NBA players are NBA players. That's why they're professionals. 40 points for Andrew Wiggins. If he's dropping 40 like that, it's good night. If he scores 40, you might as well just chalk up a L for the other team. Just that simple. But I am glad Memphis was able to bounce back with the game yesterday on a Saturday in the second Warriors matchup. Much better effort than they showed in the first one. So 2-2, I will take it. I did have them at 1-3 because I did not think they would get that game against Miami. But, again, they pulled it out on the last second layup by Ja Morant, which was their first bucket within the last 6 minutes. But, hey, not a bad week for the Grizz.
Yeah, and we're hoping that this last one against the Warriors kind of catapults us into, like, more victories, right, and coming out, of course, more victories. But, like, a streak of victory, so to speak, right? Two or three. We are 500 ball, as Mr. Cap wants to allude to. But, like, why can't we get a streak of, like, 3-2, right? Or something like that, so to speak. I don't want to, like, you know, give us too much about that. But anyways, Miami win, great win. We all called the Phoenix loss, the split against Golden State. But, again, without Steph Curry, you're hoping that you can actually get two out of that one. But again, who saw Andrew Wiggins give him 40 points? So this Dylan Brooks guy, where was he for that one? As another question. And Justice Winslow, I thought he would give some type of revenge game, so to speak, against Miami. I think his stat line was 6 points and the rest of who cares time for him. So kudos to the Grizzlies again for getting 2-2. I call 1-3. Shame on me. But shout out to the Grizzlies. Shout out to Ja Morant, too, for taking the ball when it's time. Really trying to show why he should have been an all-star as well.
I think going forward, it's all about really energy and discipline, right? Going to the Phoenix game, and, you know, the first half was great. Like, we played really good ball. And then the third quarter started, and Phoenix like, okay, let's turn up. You know, Chris Paul won't go in anyway, especially because the Grizz beat them earlier this season. So, you know, that energy, you know, you got to kind of match it at some point. Didn't do so against the Suns. You scrapped against the Heat like y'all alluded to. As far as the discipline thing goes, we see Ja Morant, you know, taking the ball and doing what he does at the end of games, which is what we want. Like, this is what a superstar is supposed to do at the end of games. Like, this is what made Dame Lillard, you know, Dame time and Steph, and y'all, I can keep going on, KD's and LeBron's and everybody. So we see Ja's game evolving, and that's what we want. We started with the Heat game. We started with the last Warriors game as well, right? And that's something that I'm proud of Joppa stepping up to doing. You know, he's tweeting, but he's also bagging it up. You know, even though sometimes he may still going forward, may not get those calls at the end of the game. You know, getting, like I said, especially against one of the Jazz games coming up, I can see that happening when he don't get a call at the end of the game. But that's showing that aggression, and that's something that we need. As far as the third Warriors game, I mean, y'all apologize, you know, for it. I accepted. Andrew Wiggins, I'm pretty sure, accepted. Jordan Poole, who actually put up 26 points in the last game. The other guy, you know, like the Warriors, like that's why I love watching them play, like discipline, like straight up discipline. Like they're going to put up effort every single night. They're going to hit the open shots. Draymond almost went down, so I'm happy that he didn't go down. But just discipline, like once we get to that level of discipline to where our star players can go out and we can still put up a fight, I think that we'll see that Grizz team evolve to, you know, a playoff team and so on.
Yep. Effort and energy. That's the problem. Like I said, I was at the game Friday, straight up. No energy, no effort, man. It was beautiful. I have never left a game that early. I left for like 3 minutes ago. And I almost left earlier than that. That's how bad it was. So he just like, he does know it's over. But I think the Grizz is their favorite rapper. I don't think it's Lil Baby. I think it's Big Sean, man. Because last night it took an L, bounced back. They do that every, obviously, took L to the Phoenix and blow out. They bounced back against Miami. Take a go to State. This night bounced back. Like,
that's they get 500 ball, huh?
Right. They bumping that Big Sean. But hey, it's just what it is. 500. Jordan Poole, 25 points Friday, 26 points Saturday. He fresh out the G League. Like
the other guy, he's been doing the same, man.
Hey, that's not Dylan Brooks guarding him. That's John Morant guarding him. So I need some better defense by all parties. But
call him out, Captain. Call him out.
But
it's like call him out, Cap.
It is what it is. Like I said, 2-2. That's what I projected. Can't read that from nothing better than that. We actually gained the lead over New Orleans and who's the other team? OKC. We actually gained a one-game lead over those two teams in the standings. We won for 2 games to 3 games. So as long as those teams keep losing, we go 500. Hey, we in the play-in. But going to the next topic, Took, you did find a photo that I'm about to share. About the most hated players for each team in the NBA. And for the Grizzlies, none other. It was Gorgie Jang? Where did you get this
yeah.
from?
Like, did this person even, like, here's the thing. I will give him this. This was taken early in the season. So this is before when Gorgie started really balling for the Grizzlies. Like, I do remember this specifically.
Still.
I do remember when this list came out. I mean, but I to this list, I would give it credit because now I definitely don't think Jang is the most hated Grizz player now. But when this list came out before Jang started turning up, like I guess 20 games into the season, like yeah.
Do you know who Dylan Brooks is? Not saying we all hate him, but I mean
that's where I'm at.
If we're about to talk about it,
but yeah. I would give credit to whoever watches. They did know a little something because we are paying Gorgie Jang a lot of money to come in. And when he started the season, he wasn't doing good at all. Like, let's be real about it.
He still won more hating than Dylan Brooks.
I mean, that's something we can also agree on it too, you know? I mean, are we all in favor of Dylan Brooks is the most hated Grizz player right now?
I'll say this to answer. Let me answer your question by saying something that I noticed from this list. Pretty much everybody on this list is I wouldn't say they're really good at defense, but they're really scrappy players, right? And so that's what I got from it. Like looking at like Wes Matthews is on this list, Gorgie Dane, we kind of know that he's a scrappy player. Robert Covington, Trevor Ariza. So for me, that screams that players aren't fond of people that play some form of defense that maybe go that more than the extra mile than the average or normal player would. So to answer your question, too, I actually surprised that Dylan Brooks is not the most hated Grizzly.
And who is this dude from Golden State?
Allen? Oh, I have no idea.
He's like a small four. He was once upon a time. He played center for us one game. When like Draymond wasn't there. Yeah.
Well, they got it right about the Heat, didn't they?
Yeah, he's not there no more, so I got to choose somebody.
That's
but I think, for everybody listening, by the way, we will post this list, by the way, so y'all can have some kind of context. Definitely comment and everything. My thing is with the Suns, like, how can a rookie be the most hated player on the team?
You got to find somebody to hate, I guess.
Does he even
I'm surprised that they ain't put Chris Paul. Be honest with you.
You know what I'm saying? You got Rudy Gobert, of course, the guy that gave it the world COVID. Rudy Gay, I don't get that one.
So I did. This is interesting. Yeah, that was my next question I was about to go into with this discussion. Who's your most hated Grizzlies player now, ever, period? Who's your most hated Grizzlies player? And mine would actually be Rudy Gay.
Really?
Yep.
Why?
I always thought when he was here, I thought he was overrated.
Agreed.
And then
to what aspect? Because I love Rudy Gay. To what aspect?
Yeah,
because he wasn't gonna be an all star because of like everybody that was around him at the time. He still gave us 20 a game. Like if he would have been healthy throughout the OKC series, like he would have been a difference maker back in the day.
I'll say this as far as Rudy Gay, which is, I mean, I'm not sure if he's my most hated Grizz, but if there's like a Grizz where I was like, you could be a little bit better than you are, it is Rudy Gay. I think Rudy Gay had like, I think at that time when wings was really popping in the NBA, like, of course, there was like LeBron and KD, but I think they were starting to like, they had their groove. Like, you kind of expected Rudy Gay to take his game to another level, and we never got that. I think his team him was really good, but I think if Rudy Gay could have taken that extra step or two, I'm not sure if they could have gotten to the finals, but I think they could have done more knocking on the wood to get to that point.
And to his point with that Clipper series, when we was up by 27 in that game one and that comeback, I like Leary put that game on Rudy Gay because that whole second half, it was just straight up giving the ball at the top of the key. And he did nothing with it, and the Clippers came all the way back.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't win that series the second game. So I kind of put a lot of the brunt of the blame on him because him and Z-Bo not working out, I kind of put it more on him than Z-Bo. Because once we traded him for a better fit, Tayshaun, of course, was nowhere near the player he was, but we went right to the West Coast Finals. But to be honest, I went a little too far saying I hated Rudy Gay because I hated Jeff Green a whole lot more. I just thought about him. I can stand Jeff Green.
I think for the reason that your most hated player is Rudy, I think mine is OJ Mayo.
Sorry.
Because he was supposed, like, he came in, averaged 20 points a game. That was his best season, like, his entire career. Like, his game never evolved. He never took that next step to all-star level. And I'm like, dude, you were once the best high school player in the nation, arguably. In my opinion, you were. And then you come into the league, you know, you don't work out, and then you leave on the league because you can't get your act together. You know what I'm saying? And I guess it was mental now, whatever. Like, he's still doing the same now. And, you know, he's doing the same better mentally, which is important. But I guess at the time, it's like, man, we expected so much out of OJ Mayo, especially using, I think it was like a top five pick, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yep. That
yeah,
be
he was third overall, if I'm not mistaken.
Third overall.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go.
As far as my most hated Grizzly, it would definitely be the three names you guys just named, Jeff Green, OJ Mayo, and Rudy Gay. Definitely could be at the top of my list. I'm probably going to lean more towards Jeff Green because while we expected more from Rudy Gay, while we expected more from OJ Mayo, at that time in which those two were actually brought into Memphis, we were still trying to establish an identity. As far as Powell being the guy that he was and then eventually making his way out and going to LA. So I remember vividly after OJ Mayo's like rookie season, they immediately was trying to play him in point guard because they struggled to find somebody to back up Mike at that point. And I think from there, it just kind of went downhill for OJ Mayo there. And then with Rudy, of course, he was supposed to be the wing guy that was supposed to go get us a bucket. But of course, we got what we got. We wish we could have gotten more. But you can definitely ask the same question there as to, okay, Or is the front office giving him the keys to say, here, Rudy, you are the guy. Like, take us there. I believe if that was established from the get-go, maybe we could have gotten more. And I think once the Grizzlies had the run that they had in 2011 and show that they could do better without him, the writing was on the wall at that point for Rudy. And the stamp on it was in that 2012 series against the Clippers. So if I had to choose somebody, it would definitely be Jeff Green.
Yeah. The first person that comes to mind for me, well, not the first, it's the second person, is OJ Mayo. Just off potential and scoring, and that was during a time when the Grizzlies needed someone to score. This is the grit and grind type of era. This is defense heavy. And to get OJ Mayo, that's instant offense. To Tuke's point, his mixtape was bananas when it came out. And so there was a lot of potential there that never manifested itself anywhere. But however, he's my second choice. My first choice is this person, and I'm going to drop the mic. Chandler Parsons.
I was waiting for somebody. I was waiting for somebody to go there. I need players who actually played, though. You know, he didn't play, so I don't count.
I mean,
billions like he did.
I'm playing.
He stood up for a couple of games. I mean,
look, this is something I knew we were going to talk about on Let's Be Real, so I didn't want to say nothing about Chandler Parker. I don't want to put my kind of, like I told you, I'm working on my energy. I don't want to bring that kind of energy on Pimp Parsons to this podcast, to this platform, but damn it.
Pimp Parsons.
Oh my god,
yeah, he definitely has to be number one, like all time. Grizzlies, you did a poll. Let's do a poll, and he's probably gonna win it, but let's still do a poll anyway.
Despite Chandler Parsons, who is your most favorite? Yeah. Who's your most hated Grizzly of all?
We gotta make it fair.
Poll coming to a Twitter.
Yeah, you took my for LBR, bro. But I ain't want to bring that energy on here, bro. We gonna chill. This is laid back. We chilling. It's a good Sunday. It's a happy Sunday. Speaking of pimping, I hope y'all went to church or got some kind of service in you. You know.
Yeah, I did.
Hey.
But before we move forward, one last thing I do want to speak on it with the whole. That was a great discussion we had about Rudy Gay and OJ Mayo. Just think about the grit and grind era. We could have possibly had a championship if both of them had lived up to their billing. Like, that's crazy to think about now. But, like, thinking back to it, like Trevor made a great point. If the role was established with Rudy just to be the man, cool. If OJ Mayo, Tony Allen spoke on it on the Chris Vernon show about him not pretty much wanting to accept the six-man role. When they came to that point, he just simply accepted that and became that Bucking Geared off the bench. Who knows? Like, that we might have a ring right now, at least got to the finals. But
yeah, because I believe they were asking OJ not only with the six man role, like, we need you to be you and score, but we also need you to facilitate your offense.
OJ probably would have been the first all star six man if he would have truly accepted his role, like, on a consistent basis. Because, like I said, he came in the league averaging 20. If he would have came off the bench, which is more of a good role, like what I say for Dylan Brooks, like, let him score. Let him be him. The Grizz need it. But because he didn't evolve to it, we ring with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as this week comes up, it is. Speaking of OJ Mayo, who did get traded from the Grizzlies, they had a failed trade where he possibly got traded to Indiana right before the trade deadline, but the paperwork didn't go in time. Y'all remember that?
I remember that. You taking me back on that.
It's so many trades the Grizz had that just failed
through. Josh McRoberts. That was the trade.
Yeah.
I remember that very well. And the trade, they didn't get in to sign the paperwork. but it was trade deadline. It was this week on March 25th. This is a late, about a whole month late. So trades that happened already throughout the league. I think PJ Tucker got traded to Milwaukee. And Trevor Ariza, I'm not going to mention who he got traded for. Trevor Ariza got traded to the Miami Heat. So we just leave it at that. y'all heard any rumors? The Grizzlies specifically. Gorgeous Yang is the name you still keep hearing. If y'all heard in the rumors, so I think any trade needs to be done Grizzlies wise?
I just think that they need to find shooting. Shooting is a sole reason why we go through these lulls of, like, what's the offense? Like, it's just a bunch of, like, Ja Morant, like, coming off screens going down here, which is fine. But I think to create more space for him and the rest of the people in the offense, you need to find a starting caliber type shooter. My personal opinion, I mean, I know it gets kind of talked about and laughed about on Twitter, but I really think you should really try, if I were the Grizzlies, try to look at Bradley Beal. I know that's a lot, but at least see what they're willing to, if they're willing to talk to you about. And another thing that I'm willing to say, and I'm not sure how many people will accept it, but I would be willing to put Triple J on the trading block, depending on who I'm trying to get. Be 100 about it.
You went there.
I was actually about to go there. I was about to go there in the Slack group earlier, but you said.
Okay. Why?
Well, I would say this. I wouldn't make calls on his behalf. I wouldn't openly say I'm shopping him, but I would throw out a rumor or two just to see who else calls and see what they're willing to offer for him. I think for me, I understand he has potential, but I'm a little concerned about his injuries. I'm a little concerned about that. And again, going back to my name, they are who we thought they were. If somebody shows you that they have a history of having lingering injuries, especially as a big man, that's not good. Look at Joel Embiid. So I think
it's, I mean, but look at Joel Embiid.
Exactly. Look at Joel Embiid. He's a really good player, but again, the best ability is availability. And if you're not constantly on my floor, then I don't want to say I could care less what you're doing, but that doesn't mean much to me.
I think it's still too early, man.
Which is why I would take calls on.
But his point, I guess, Scott, the point is this: he's not. You know how we say like Ja's untradeable. And you say Triple J is, but he's basically saying we're not going to openly say, hey, we're going to shop him. But if someone calls and they say, hey, in order to get Brad to Bill, y'all got to give up Triple J, we got to think about it.
I mean, let's think about it. At the same time, you don't want to start a foundation of breaking up something that may be great. Like, we've seen what Ja and Jaren can do. We've seen the potential. Like, Ja was in his first year last year. Let them grow together before you start breaking up that kind of chemistry of, hey, I may get traded. Like, let me be on a hot seat. Let me walk around with needles around my feet. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't break that up.
But we, to his point,
for them to heal together, they have to be on the court together.
To his point.
It's going to come. Let's not be in a microwave society on this one.
Y'all. I mean, we're not saying trade them, though. Okay. We're just saying.
It's still
too early to have a thought of it is what I'm saying. In my opinion.
He's played two games in 1 year.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, we're not here at this point because of Triple J. Like, he's not even giving us any practice squad time. So, I mean, it wouldn't hurt.
But once he does, I think it'll push us to that next level. I honestly believe in Jaren Jackson.
I mean, that remains to be seen. We got to see it on the court.
I mean, I believe it too.
I'm with them. Like, I will take some calls. Like, I'm not just going to be openly shopping them. But if somebody came and something, you know, really nice, I at least just listen before I hang up the phone. Like, I wouldn't just say, oh, we openly trading Triple J. Like, if that's all it took to get Bradley Beal, would you pull the trigger on it?
Right now, no.
It's going to take more. What?
Right now, no.
If 3J was the only thing Washington had to give you right now, would you pull the trigger?
I will not, because there's a player that can somewhat give me Bradley Beal numbers, and his name is Buddy Hield. If I can go get Buddy Hield and grow into that rotation with the Grizzlies, that's the lineup I can do.
You know how much I love Buddy Hield. You know how much I love Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield is one of my faves to watch.
We can get a cheaper Bradley Beal. And Bradley Beal's not going anywhere regardless. We see how happy he is in Washington. He's not going anywhere. Let's focus on getting a player that we can actually try to get.
anywhere. But if I'm their front office and they call and say, "Hey, we'll give you Bradley Beal for Triple J," I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm saying done. The Grizz need shooting, and they need somebody that can go get their own basket, and that's something that Bradley Beal does for them. And it takes a lot of pressure off of Ja Morant.
And he's healthy.
And he's healthy.
I'm just being honest.
If that trade was on the table right now, I will pull the trigger. But again, I was just listening to some, just listen at least, just try to see what folks are even offering. But for me, I think the Grizz are definitely looking to possibly move Gorey to try to get some kind of cap relief or try to gather up assets possibly to make a push for Bradley Beal. Not sure what player is going to be out on the market that the Grizzlies can target, because I'm with Skyler. Like, we need to get some form of shooting, or we need to get another guy that's like instant offense that can go get his own shot. So that way we're not looking lost, you know, in the closing minutes of the fourth quarter. But yeah, I think at this point, I think Grizzlies are listening for offers to see what kind of assets they can get for Gorey, and I believe that's it. So I think at this trade deadline is probably going to be all about getting assets.
And to your point about Buddy Hill, that should be who they should target, because you're going to get him for so much. At this point, Sacramento, I don't think they want him. So you probably can get him for a couple of seconds, maybe a first, maybe a late first. I mean, I would see you call about that.
Hey, believe it or not, they actually need a bid. So I would be surprised if they threw Gorgie in there in a pick and try and get Buddy Hill. So like, if you can get him for cheap, somehow put
Gorgie
in a deal.
Let me put my GM hat on. Gorgie, a second rounder, and Dylan Brooks for Buddy Hill.
Let's go. And don't even think twice.
I will do it.
I don't even think twice about it.
That's my GM hat. That's my GM hat.
Hold on. Let me back it up just a little bit. Sacramento's got to send me something else than just Buddy.
Okay, like they another pick or another.
They'll throw Marvin Bagley in there. He stay hurt.
Hey, man.
If Marvin Bagley is in there, I'm hanging up the phone. Marvin Bagley isn't that deal. No disrespect, but if he's in that deal, I'm hanging up the phone. If I'm partnered with Dylan Brooks and Gorgie Jane and the pick, Sacramento, you guys should be more than just what you're doing. It's as simple as that.
That.
Yeah.
Y'all funny.
Anybody else got one? All right, trade deadline this week. We'll see you into our next episode next week if we actually make a move, or if we don't make a move and we release Gorgie so he can play for a contender. We'll see what all happens this week. But stay tuned, as we'll, of course, we'll be back next week as well. But before we finish off, let's do our weekly predictions. As you probably know, me and Sky's predictions already for this week. But look at the schedule. We play OKC. We got four games to play. Boston at home, who been struggling. I don't know what Boston's up to this year. Play at OKC. Reaper, they better not come in that game taking them lightly again. That's all I got to say on that one. And they play back-to-back Friday and Saturday. 2-2. Don't ask me which games they're winning, which games they're losing. 2-2.
Keep the time.
Let's go.
Shaka, I really want to go 2-2 with you.
But where?
Three, huh?
But where?
That's just looking real 1-3-ish. And really with the OKC game, really looking 0-4-ish. I'll take 2-2 though. Utah isn't as good as they were at the beginning of the season. Now granted it's at Utah, but I think they could possibly
still win. They're number one in the West.
I was at the Grizz game Friday. Road games, I mean, if the fans in Utah like that, well, I was at Friday, and it don't matter where you playing it at all.
2-2.
My bad. I'm between 1-3 and 2-2.
That's what everybody.
I'm actually going to go 2-2. I think Boston has always been a matchup nightmare for us, so I'm giving that an L. I think we get the game against OKC because I think the loss to them the last matchup, I think it's going to wake Memphis up for their game. So they'll get that one. And then they split against Utah. So I'll go 2-2.
I do want to go 1-3. Give me a win against Boston. We gonna come back on the podcast. We gonna be on a 3-game lose streak.
You just said 2-2, man. Why you change?
No. I'm thinking. I'll be different. I don't want to be 2-2 with everybody else. Give me 1-3. Give me 1-3. Next week we gonna come on a 3-game losing streak. Because I don't see how we beat Utah. Boston, I think we get away because we good. You know, we found our swag against Golden State. And then OKC is going to be just a scrap game that I think Say Alexander. Somebody else going to beat us in the OKC as per usual. And then Utah, they're the number one team in the league.
So you expect Luke Dort to drop like 25 against the Grizz?
Hey. Maybe. The Pokemon.
Hold on, I mess with Luke Dort.
Do you not remember what Pokemon did to us?
Hey, that's true.
Come on, bro.
I honestly don't see how you got us beating Boston because we always struggle against Boston. Either Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown.
Are you trying to convince me to go 0-4?
If you would have went with the one win against OKC, I would have been.
Oh no, Boston! It's something like you said. It's something going on with Boston. It's something going on. I don't know what it is.
I agree.
It's one of those games that the Grizz
every time we match up against Boston, it's either Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum. They just come right out the gate and they have a huge game and they just take it. Just take it all away just from that point.
But you know,
I think if we would have lost against Golden State again, we would have lost to Boston. But I think because we beat Golden State, we kind of got some energy. We got some good energy going for right now. Like I said, it's all about discipline at this point and energy. I think we can come out and squeeze one out in Boston.
Okay. And relieve the 0-4 to Mr. is really cheating himself.
I mean, it's energy because he back wide.
Give him my 0-4, man.
Nah, I don't see it that way, Cap. This is what I see, man. I called it earlier in the show. I said I would like to see them take a streak. No better time than now. And so give me Boston OKC wins. Give me a Utah loss and then the Utah win.
Oh.
Do you see the Grizz being Boston?
Hey, we're going 3-1.
Okay.
Help me out, Kashida. You've been quiet, bro. You waited. You've been quiet. You could have helped me on the Boston one, bro. How do you see the Grizz being Boston?
I don't think it's necessarily what I see them doing against Boston or OKC. I just see it as like there needs to be a time where they convince all of us they can win more than just one game in a row or two games in a row. And so to me, it's just going to be about right now we have to just be the better team, period. Just like all these upsets that are happening against in college basketball, you just have to be the best team for one night. Just one night. Who cares? Like, you know, we lost.
Easier said than done, coach.
we beat the Heat. The Heat are definitely a playoff team, right? Are we better than them? No, but we were better than them that night. Same thing with the Warriors. We're better than them on one night. They're better than us. So I just got it 3-1.
And we basically had the same record as Boston. But like Trevor's point, we do struggle against them. But my whole thing, when I think about this OKC game, how they took a mighty last time, Mr. John Morant, you got some proving to do in that game because OKC fans came out talking about Shea Gilgeous is better than you. And I can't say I don't agree with them right now because we're having that. So Wednesday, I need you to show that you better than Shea Gilgeous, Alexander, bro.
Yikes. Call him out.
Y'all watched that game last Sunday?
Yeah, call him out. Hey.
Call him out, Captain.
All like you see it.
I need to see that fire in your eyes, bro. All right, man. All right, that's a good show, man. Do it for today, man. Remember to follow us at the Starting Five, the number 5 MEM and follow the Grizzly Bear Blues at SBN Grizzlies, and listen to the other podcasts on the network. As we lead off on Mondays, you can listen to 3&D on Tuesdays, Core 4 on Wednesdays, and GPB Live on Thursdays. Remember to follow me at @_PSHark.
And I'm @_ScottLade on Twitter. Everybody be good, be safe. And again, they are who we thought they were.
I'm @TheArtOfTrevor. I'm not going to do my usual spiel because now I'm in the process of trying to write this sitcom with JV Jai and Dylan Brooks. So I'm taking show names, titles. So let me know.
Did not see that one coming, Trevor. I really didn't. It's really shitty, man. Holding it down, man. Hey, Grizz, give me 3-1. Let's get a little streak going.
A sitcom with Ja Morant would be hilarious, right? Especially with Papa Morant in there, too. Like, come on, man. It's your man, Tab Shakir. Let's definitely find a title for him, though.
Hey, then you got Dylan and JV, so hey.
I mean, if I get one at the, if I get what I want at the trade deadline, Dylan will be, it'll be just JV and Ja. So it is what it is. We can write somebody else in.
Well, where can they follow you on Twitter?
@TabShakir.
All right. And if y'all know what Trevor's referencing, which y'all should, it's the picture of JV, Ja, and Dylan after the second Golden State game that was on Twitter. Hilarious photo. Glad they were happy. After their performance, I would say Friday night, they needed to make that up. This time, Grizz Nation.
Peace.